Time to talk about rugby now, and I'm joined by our own Michael Corcoran, former Irish head coach Eddie O'Sullivan, and French rugby journalist Laurent Dupré in Paris, where I'm told it's snowing. And gentlemen, we should be in the midst of a busy weekend of Champions Cup and Challenge Cup action, but French coronavirus concerns put paid to that. Laurent, was it ultimately the French clubs or the French government who made the decision that none of your teams would take part this weekend and next?
I would say in the end, the final decision was taken by the clubs, but following highly recommended assignations from the government.
And what was the problem?
There is something that is frightening many people on Earth and especially in France, because we are talking about rugby and European Cup, called the English or British variant of the coronavirus.
And this led to the concern, I think, of one team in particular, Bayonne, who reckon they may have picked up 9 cases, was it, after a game against Leicester Tigers?
Yes, exactly.
So would the move then not to take part in these two weekends, would it have been broadly supported? Would there have been total support among French rugby clubs?
I would say there was something I can call in French, unanimité. I think it's the same word in English, unanimity. And they decided not to play the European Cup games in January because it was too running short of time to find a solution. So that's why they proposed to postpone the games. So I don't know more about this, sorry.
Sure. And Michael, of course, this means, well, initially it meant the postponement of the two weekends, but now they've been cancelled.
Yeah, and I think it's the correct decision, really, John. I mean, rugby, like lots of other sports, has proven that it needs to be adaptable throughout the course of this pandemic, and this is just the latest episode of adaptability. So, like, it didn't come as a surprise. You know, the fact that they're now talking about you know, European rugby going straight to a knockout phase. Fingers crossed. You know, at some stage in April, that looks as if that's what's going to happen next. So, you know, the Champions Cup and the Challenge Cup is highly likely to continue, albeit in a different format. But that's the way. These are the times that we live in these days.
So essentially, the EPCR, who run the Challenge Cup and the Champions Cup, they have 4 weekends to work with, and now they have to plan how those 4 weekends are going to function in April and May.
Yeah, and I mean, you're in a situation like where, you know, the matches that have been played up to date, or that matches have been played so far, will be taken into account when it comes to, you know, who's going to play who in the potentially in the next phase of the competition, which would be a straight knockout situation there. You know, because they had built in something new into the competition this year, where the quarterfinal was going to be in a home and away scenario. So they do have those 2 weekends. So it looks as if those 2 weekends in early April will be used for straight knockout games, and it will be just knockout rugby effectively from now on.
Mm. Eddie, does this in some way take away from the integrity of the competition?
We'd like to say it doesn't, but I think it does, because, you know, teams have played right through the competition based on the structure of it. And, you know, in the case of teams might have changed selections, or they may have viewed games differently, and suddenly the dynamics or the parameters of the tournament change. So as they say in America, you'd probably have an asterisk beside this year's tournament, because you've changed the format of the tournament to change your horse in midstream. So whatever we say, it does affect it. There's no doubt about that. But I think, as Michael said there, rugby, like most other businesses, is in scramble mode at the moment, and they're trying to find ways to get competitions finished in a way that seems reasonable. And you've even start up a new competitions. You know, the Pro 14 now morphs into the Rainbow Tournament, trying to get the current Pro 14 finished into the next one. And even today, we have, you know, obviously the unions are scrambling for money everywhere, and the Australian Rugby Union are proposing a mini World Cup now that will be integrated with the Rugby Championship. So we're in this massive state of flux, and it's all about keeping our head above water until we get out the other side of this. So we've got to take it it is what it is, and there's no point in worrying about it except try to keep the game intact. And can you imagine the catastrophe this would be if this is a Rugby World Cup year? Like, we've dodged a bullet that we got out of the Rugby World Cup, and we're in mid-cycle because the cancellation of a Rugby World Cup or the postponement of it, even like we have at the Olympics, would be just beyond catastrophic for world rugby.
Michael, what about the, if we look ahead, we say, to these knockout stages now, the last 16 of the Champions Cup would be our focus, I suppose. What would be the implications? Who are the teams that Munster and Leinster likely to face? Because in the case of Connacht and Ulster, they would probably drop down to the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, I mean, I've read a couple of different reports on, you know, and a couple of different interpretations depending on which way that they jump. That's the people from the EPCR. But it looks very much as if Leinster would play Gloucester and Munster would play Scarlets in the next round of the competition. But we're expecting everything to be confirmed by the end of January. So let's wait and see what happens there. But you know, if they use the top eight from each of the two pools that are there at the moment, that's the way that it's looking likely to fall. As to what happens after that, it depends on which way they decide then that the next round of the competition, if you like, would actually go. So I guess we really got to wait, John, till the end of January. But as of now, it does look as if it would be Leinster home to Gloucester and Munster home to Scarlets in the next phase of the competition.
And Connacht and Ulster then would drop to the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, they'd be involved in the Challenge Cup. So I mean, there'd be meaningful rugby for the teams, albeit, as Eddie said, in a different scenario. You know, where you're missing your two pool games from now on. European rugby is knockout rugby, so. You know, it's the last chance saloon every time you put a jersey on to go out to play a European game. That's the way it's going to be from April.
Essentially, then you're going from one weekend where you'd be last 16, then to the quarterfinals, then to semi-finals and a final. So, you know, even that, given I know there's so much uncertainty around, that would be an achievement in itself, wouldn't it?
Well, it certainly would, but, you know, I mean, I'm assuming that they're going to use the first two weekends for the last 16, the round of the last 16, then plus the quarterfinals. There's a separate weekend set aside for a semi-final, and the final, ironically, is supposed to take place in Marseille later on this year, in May. So that's still bracketed in, a Challenge Cup and a Champions Cup final in Marseille, pushed back from last year. So again, you know, it really does depend on whatever's going to happen over the coming months, indeed, with this pandemic and the way it operates. But the one thing I keep saying all the time is that rugby will still have to be adaptable. So let's see where this journey is going to take us.
Sure, and the journey is going to take us pretty quickly to the Six Nations, Laurent. What's the French view of the Six Nations?
Well, we had yesterday good news coming from the Vice President Serge Simon, who talked to Le Figaro, which is a French newspaper, and in these words, he said that a meeting took place between the French rugby union representatives and the government representative, health, prime minister, and so on. And he declared that Serge Simon was very, very confident for the games to be played on scheduled time, as if nothing happened, of course, behind closed doors.
Yes, indeed. So I think in the schedule, France's first away game would be their third game away to England in Twickenham.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But he said, Serge Simon, in a very interesting interview, said that the most important thing for the French government was to have the insurance that the process would be the same for in every country. You know, just to have a kind of bubble.
Sure. In other words, that guarantee would have to come from the Six Nations organisers. And Eddie, the Six Nations is so crucial to the unions.
Oh, yes.
It's huge. Yeah, it's huge. It's massive. I mean, the Six Nations to come unstuck now would be probably the kiss of death in terms of finances. I mean, I can't imagine the game would stop, but it would be catastrophic. It would be hard to get over it. And I think that the French are genuinely concerned about travelling to Britain. They have three away games this year, and in Italy they've got to go to England, and they've got to come to Dublin. So you can understand the concern in France, and this is not just about rugby; it's a national concern. So I think the Six Nations can be played off, as we, you know, I think there's a way through this, but that's if nothing bad happens. Like, let's say there's an outbreak in one team in the middle of the championship, that could unhinge the whole championship.
Sure.
So, like, we're really on tenterhooks here. If everything goes to plan, you understand the French government looking for assurances, I think if everything goes to plan, the Six Nations will go ahead. But if something goes wrong, if there's an outbreak of COVID or there's a new strain comes in, we don't know. As Michael said, it's completely up in the air. So fingers crossed the Six Nations will happen, because if it doesn't, it's another hammer blow to the game financially. So I think everyone's holding their breath on that one, because that's probably the one that will do the most damage if it unhinges at the moment in this part of the world.
Mm-hmm. And talking about the Six Nations, Michael, it was going to be the case, obviously, that there wouldn't be any games next weekend because of the cancellation of the Champions Cup and Challenge Cup games. But it now appears, well, now we have for definite the clash between Munster and Leinster at Thomond Park. And we have Connacht, I think, playing Ospreys on the Sunday. Mm-hmm. So that's good news for Andy Farrell.
Yeah, it's a big boost, actually, to be fair about it, yeah. You know, that, and I'm glad to see that common sense has prevailed in terms of trying to reschedule some of those matches. I mean, effectively, I'm assuming that both Munster and Leinster will be fully stocked in terms of their frontline international players. So, I mean, that is a possibility of being a really good game. And certainly, you know, the fact that that Connacht will play against Ospreys on Sunday is quite a big one too as well. I mean, if you look, for example, a player like Bundiaki, who's had a bit of a knee issue for the last while, he hasn't played rugby for a period of time. So certainly, yes, I know there have been cancellations, but, you know, Andy Farrell will obviously be keeping his fingers crossed everybody comes through those two matches unscathed, but it certainly will be good match practice, for want of a better phrase. I think there'll be a lot more at stake than match practice. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, certainly the game on Saturday in Thomond Park, the two teams going at each other, hammer and tongs, with a view to getting themselves sorted out ahead of the Six Nations Championship.
And Laurent, from, I suppose, the if we talk about a selfish view, French rugby is going through a pretty good period. So the players themselves would hope that the Six Nations would go ahead unhindered.
Definitely, you're right, yes. Fabien Galthié and his assistant coaches and the manager, Raphaël Ibanez, delivered the 37 players list plus five players supposed to be here to help them. And they will be working in Nice, in southeast of France, and from the 25th of January to the first game away against Italy. And definitely they need to keep on playing with that momentum they showed us, I would say, for the last Autumnal Nations Cup.
Mm. Yes, and they'll probably start the tournament favourites along with England. Eddie, other news this week, the confirmation of this investment by CVC Capital. What's that going to mean for the game?
Well, I think what they're all happy about at the moment is the fact they're going to get a huge cash injection. Looks like the IRFU are in line to get a good chunk of change out of this. And I think it's badly needed at the moment. So the short term is a plus, John. Definitely everyone's looking forward. I think it's 40 to 50 million the RFU will get. But the big question with this is, when all the dust settles, is what's the long term effects of having capital investment? And I think the short story here, in my view, is that this money is needed now, but it'll probably be spent on current expenditure. The danger is that rugby will be looking for more investors again in 3 or 4 years' time. And what you could have is that, you know, control of rugby tournaments going to capitalists like we're seeing. And then do we lose control of the game? CVC are in this for profit. They're not in for rugby. So it's a big debate. But at the moment, I suppose everyone will be happy to take the money and put a finger in the dam in terms of the finances. But I think it's a big discussion in terms of the long term when you have capitalists moving in on sports where they see down the line they can make a lot of profit. And if we lose control of the rugby based on that, that's a big discussion, as I said. But for the moment, we're happy to get the money, I think, and keep the ship afloat.
Well, it could mean from next year that the Six Nations wouldn't be free to air.
Oh, distinctly possible. Like, that's the point here, is these investors were looking at it in terms of maximizing their investment. And, you know, it's all about them making a profit. And like, that's where the problem starts, is because, you know, we're talking about expanding the game globally, making it accessible to the masses, trying to ring-fence tournaments. But at the end of the day, if it's behind a paywall, we all know what happens there. So there's been a lot of concern since this was announced almost a year ago, John. But I think the pandemic has overtaken everything in terms of trying to survive at the moment financially in rugby. But I would be worried in the long term about this in terms of where rugby's soul is going. And I think the concern I have is that it's okay to give 14.5%, but if we do rounds of fundraising like this every 4 or 5 years to bail ourselves out of the financial hole rugby has been in now for a number of years, we could soon lose control of rugby in the next 10 to 15 years.
And when you say the soul of rugby, are you talking about participation levels? What exactly are you saying?
I'm talking about the game behind the paywall. I mean, less people would see it, less kids would get to enjoy it. We lose control of trying to use rugby in terms of the positive benefits for society out of it. It just becomes a complete business from start to finish. Like, you know, can you imagine if Pro 14, Six Nations, all those games go behind a paywall? Certainly in Ireland, a bit of an effect. At the moment, there's an interesting piece today that how rugby in Limerick is taking a backseat now to hurling, because hurling has become the sexy sport in Limerick. Now, that's just a small example, but rugby could follow that route. And I think that's a danger for rugby, that if they lose control of their product, you know, all the goodwill in the world won't save the game. And it's still a minority game in the world, and we're trying to grow it. And I think they're not as far up the hill as I think in terms of that. But for a commercial entity to take control of the game would mean that rugby, you know, would be in a whole new space.
Michael, these are all genuine concerns, aren't they?
Absolutely, John. Yeah, and it's interesting just to hear Eddie articulate those as well too, to be fair about it, yeah. Certainly, you know, the cash injection that this will bring is very badly needed. My understanding is it's costing the RFU in the region of €5 million a month just to keep the game afloat here. Now, there's very little money coming in. That's why it's really important, A, that the Six Nations Championship takes place as scheduled, because the unions don't get paid until the tournament actually takes place. So it's important that the Six Nations goes ahead without any hitch from start to finish. And certainly, you know, I would share Eddie's concerns that you know, there's big money being talking about here from CVC coming into various tournaments. But, you know, I still kind of scratch my head wondering, you know, I've yet to meet a man who's going to be handing over large amounts of money unless he wants something more substantial coming back in the other direction. So I'd be wary, I suppose, slightly concerned maybe is the phrase I'd probably use in terms of the direction that rugby's going to take in terms of moving forward.
Lauren, what's your own view of this?
Well, I think it's a global move from financial activities and companies just looking on profits and maybe possible profits with rugby. If you consider Silver Lake with the All Blacks or CVC with the Premier League and the EPCR, and now we are talking about Six Nation Committee. I think it's a global move.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned the Six Nations, the men's Six Nations, and the probability, fingers crossed, that it'll go ahead, barring anything unforeseen happening between now and the 6th of February. The women's Six Nations, Michael, what's the story there?
Well, that's obviously not going to take place at the same time as the Men's Six Nations Championship. There is a suggestion that the Women's Six Nations will take place at a stage maybe during the course of April and May. The Under-20 Six Nations Championship looks as if it's going to be shunted out to the summer. It's a huge year for women's rugby because There's a Women's Rugby World Cup due to take place in New Zealand in September. The Irish women's team haven't actually qualified for the World Cup yet. So, like, there's a massive issue for them, obviously, there in terms of A, Six Nations Championship, B, trying to qualify for the Rugby World Cup. At least there's some certainty now in the sense that it's not taking place. They know that the Women's Six Nations is not taking place as scheduled. There has been a suggestion over the last number of years that perhaps it should be a standalone tournament at a different stage in the actual calendar to when the men's one is taking place. Now, unfortunately, because of COVID, they have the opportunity to do that, whether it's welcome or otherwise, I don't know. But it certainly will be it's a very, very frustrating time for those who are involved in women's rugby right now.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Lauren, do you let's be optimistic today. Do you foresee the Six Nations going ahead and being completed?
I cross everything I can cross. I can tell you that I'm not lying. I do hope so, but unfortunately, it's just a feeling. It's not an information. Sorry about this.
Yes, a feeling. Yes. Well, that's all we can really deal with. Eddie, what's your own assessment?
Yeah, at the moment, I think we're holding our breath on it, John, because I think it's possible if things hold at the moment in terms of nothing untoward happens with the virus, I think it's possible for professional players, within the tournament to maintain the right protocols and get through the tournament. And I think we'll expect there's not going to be nobody in the stadium watching the games, or if we can see it on television, and it would save the tournament. But like Lauren, I think if anything goes wrong, anything untoward, which we know is unpredictable, the whole thing could derail in the middle of the tournament, which would be catastrophic. And we haven't even talked about the Lions Tour, John, which they're trying to shoehorn.
Sure, the Lions Tour. I mean, what do you think about the Lions Tour at this point?
I think it's hugely in doubt, and I think they've admitted that by virtue of the fact they're discussing the potential of playing the tests in Europe.
Would you be keen on that?
I don't think so. I'd be honest with you. It's not a Lions Tour if they're playing at home. Let's be honest. It's another way of probably making money, but it, again, will be not a Lions Tour in terms of, Wednesday games. It just wouldn't be what we are used to. And I think financially, the Lions Tours are very important to the team, to the country hosting. They're massively important to that union financially. So there's no real upside for South Africa other than maybe some TV money, which would still be pretty big, but It would be a Lions Tour like no other, and I don't think it would ever be regarded as a proper Lions Tour if the Lions Tour at home in the home countries.
Michael, do you think we're going to get through the Six Nations on schedule?
I keep my fingers crossed, John, on that one. I think if we can take the learnings from the Autumn Nations Cup that we had, I saw Bernard Laporte tweeting during the course of the week that if we take on board the COVID protocols that we had there, more enhanced testing, and just keep the fingers crossed that everything works out. I think we have a chance of getting through the Six Nations unscathed. But we saw what happened. If, as Eddie said, if one of the teams gets an outbreak, we saw what happened to the Fijians during the course of November also. Where it just got into their camp and they couldn't get rid of it. So we've, like Lauren, I'm keeping everything crossed. I'm optimistic. I've seen how the Irish team at first hand have operated within their own bubble, and indeed, obviously, I've been to every match I go to. Everything is behind closed doors, temperature checks, even for the media going in, and everything like that. So certainly. The RFU have pointed the way forward as to how they can run large scale events as in international events like that. So just fingers crossed it continues to work out that way.
Sure. Well, Michael Corcoran, Eddie O'Sullivan and Lauren Dupre, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. And a reminder, by the way, that next Saturday night, the Munster versus Leinster clash in the Pro 14 is live here on RTE Radio 1. Coverage begins at 7 p.m.